Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for accommodating me. I want to welcome the new board. Some of you are old faces. And I also want to welcome Greg Gumer as our new ED to Pacifica. The report is in the PNB report, but I also want to just say, you know, sometimes we as Pacifica sit here in these meetings and we talk about all the challenges we face, and we talk about all the negativities and all the troubles, and we forget behind our stations, we have local boards, we have community advisory boards, we have thousands of volunteers, we have programmers, we have staff, and they do extraordinary work. And if we listen, you know, if there's thousands of people listening to Pacifica now, you get a very negative picture. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves to look at the positive work that everybody is doing in this network and just remind you of that. I have some brief updates. KPFK went over, we reached our goal in the October fund drive. We went over $1 million. So we raised 100,000 more than our goal, which was 950,000. In addition to that, we had a power outage in the October fund drive, which quite notorious in LA. And we went an extra half a day, and we raised $70,000 to be able to purchase two generators for KPFK. We are now implementing and installing those generators both at our transmitter site and at the studios, and the whole push is to get these backup generators up and running before the February fund drive. So that was something really positive for the station. Some of you might be aware of XLNC or the situation in LA where we have a Mexican station called XLNC1 that broadcasts on KPFK signal. In 2000, that station was given a portion of our signal, and we have done everything legally, negotiations, listener campaigns, nothing helped. But in December, the FCC opened a window where we were able to file for illegal broadcasting against XLNC. The hearings are coming up. It looks like we're definitely going to win this round and get our San Diego audience and signal back. The Malibu booster, we're working on that. We're negotiating space for the tower for the Malibu booster. So that should be up and running before you come to LA in March. Hopefully that's the deadline to get the Malibu booster up and running. And I think that's all I want to report on and just simply give you an opportunity to ask questions. The union contract, I want to thank Lonnie. We've been in negotiations for a year and a half, and it's finally done. We just need to have the final word on the signing of the contract. EFTRA and KPFK will post a press release, and EFTRA regards the KPFK union contract as a groundbreaking contract, and they have said that they will hold this as the standard for union contracts in EFTRA. So that was extraordinary work that was done with Lonnie and a couple other people in negotiations. So thank you. I think that's it for now.
Thanks very much, Eva. We have 10 minutes for questions. Lydia, then Bob.
You're not allowed to ask me questions. You're in my signal area.
No, I think that you were going to say something about the Spanish language. Give us a little bit more about where that...
Oh, yes. The GMs talked, and I see Greg is not here, but Lonnie was...
No, Greg just showed up.
Oh, there
him.
You are. The GM spoke in the Administrative Council, and the outcome of the Spanish language, the resolution for the Spanish language international newscast, is that after this meeting, we have asked that Greg organize or coordinate a conference call with all the GMs. And right now, the proposal is looking at launching a 30-minute newscast and then building that up over the next year to an hour-long international newscast. That we want to launch it with a marketing campaign. We've all agreed to work together on this, on the budget, and everybody has given their commitment for the launch of the show. Quickly, the Spanish language cast would be produced at KPFK or the final product, but every station will be contributing stories from around the country, and it would be open for affiliates as well to contribute to that cast. So it's not like KPFK is producing the entire cast. We're doing the production work around it. We're doing the technical stuff. But we are getting, we will be getting contributions from everyone. So that will, that's a priority for us as general managers and the national office to get that budget proposal out to this PNB on the national programming policy. As you've heard, KPFK had a all-day programmers meeting where we discussed this. The general managers all agreed that they will send out the document, Rob, to all of their programmers in their signal areas and get input. And then the GMs and the Administrative Council will come together and we will have, we will produce a written proposal or written document with responses from all five signal areas by the March meeting or prior to the March meeting. So that's it.
Bob?
Show me.
Does the Malibu booster...
Wait, Teresa, Bob was next.
I'm sorry.
Two things, and thanks for that report. One is on the Spanish language program. You mentioned that the next step is a, did I understand, it's a conference call of the general managers. Can I suggest that the general managers and Greg consider expanding that to the program directors, since they're the ones that are going to have to immediately be implementing and try to adjust their program schedules to reflect this new offering?
Well, I'm sure that I can safely say yes to the on behalf of the general managers to that, absolutely.
Okay, thanks. And my other question was, you mentioned what AFTRA describes as groundbreaking provisions in the new contract. Can you expand on that and tell us what some of them are?
We have just agreed to pay overtime. overtime was one of the benefits, and maybe Lonnie can help me. We've taken over the benefits because the AFTRA health health plan collapsed last year, so we are now paying benefits. We have, I think we have added in 6 months of paid leave for maternity leave. We've extended paternity leave. So all of the benefits has been extended really, really broadly in the contract. And I think one of the things we could probably do is put a synopsis together about those benefits and send it out to the PNB and all the other stations so that they can see what's in the contract.
Teresa?
I just want to explain about the benefit part.
Okay.
Well, one of the things, one of the things that is new in these contracts is that the AFTRA health and welfare benefit rate, which we were paying like 14-16% a year, was getting increasingly expensive. And so it was actually a lot cheaper to bring people inside our health and welfare benefit plan. And in the case of K, it saved them $80,000 a year, net $40,000.
When you say our, you mean the national plan?
The national plan. See, what made the raises possible in all of our contracts, because AFTRA really did allow us to do that, is we were able to move the benefit costs from 16%, which we were paying, inside and save each station money enough to pay for the increases. So that's really how it was managed.
Teresa, then Sarah.
Sorry, Teresa. Something else that was new is the we added in for the first time in the contract reimbursements for producers, because we really want to support producers getting out in the community and be able to, you know, do field work. So that is also a new thing in the contract.
You mean reimbursement for expenses?
That's for paid producers. We're trying to organize our unpaid producers and programs now. I know BAI has got a contract, and so we're going to be coming to you guys for help on the unpaid programmers contract.
Teresa, then Sarv, and we have about 8 minutes left.
And I would like to know what your relationship is with Santa Barbara right now, their community radio station. Are you doing any combined efforts? And what happens when your signal kind of flows into Santa Barbara, which is another community radio station?
Santa Barbara, thanks for the question. It was a very challenging relationship when I came into the station. Actually, there was no relationship. And Ursula brought it to my attention, and Dan Coughlin, I started working on that. So what we have now is we do quarterly co-productions between the two stations. And I think last year we did two. We just started off. That was part of the negotiations. Our news teams interact with each other. So between Santa Barbara Station and KPFK, you know, there's an exchange of news stories. when we go to Santa Barbara now, we do promotions. If we have a fundraiser, then Santa Barbara is part of that. We don't just come into their town anymore and just do something. The other thing was we just did a live broadcast, I think in October or September, between the two stations. So we're definitely doing cross promotions between the two stations. Yeah, that's where we are. And I think the relationship will just continue to grow as we continue.
We've got Sarve, then LaVarne, then Ray, and that'll have to do it. I actually had one quick point at the end.
Thank you. Thank you, Eva. Lonnie just pointed out that we have lack of diversity, for example, on our national board from KPFK area and KPFT Houston area. That is from our governance side of it. On the management side of it, on KPFK, is there lack of diversity, ethnic diversity there? And if it's not, could you tell me, give me some idea about that?
KPFK was recognized by the CPB as a minority station in 2004 for the first time because of the staff changes and composition. So we have probably one of the most diverse management teams in Pacifica. And from a local perspective for CPB, we don't report on our local station board composition. We report on the CAB composition. And that CAB composition is just, it's all people of color. When it comes to the PNB, the representatives are sitting here. I think they can speak to that
issue.
Okay,
no, I just wanted to know that the ethnic diversity is represented there, the station itself.
We are a minority station,
okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
LaVarne?
Could I add one sentence to that?
Go ahead.
I think Eva would agree that our local station board has real diversity as well.
Yeah.
Women, people of color, and so on. The diversity on the local station board is very good. It's here where we're weak.
And we can have that discussion. We have 6 minutes, but that'll be later in the agenda where it belongs to talk about the local station
here.
Board. Got LaVarne and then Ray, and then that's it.
Thank you. Thank you for the report, Eva. That was, you always give a really good report to us. And just have a question. I was looking at the capital that's required on your generators, your booster. That's about 50, that's about 30, what is that, about 95?
Yeah.
Are you planning a capital campaign, and are you coordinating some event with the national office to look at that? And plus, also, was there a question about your facility, your building, the parking lot or something, or are there some things that you needed to
elevator.
Work on there?
The elevator is really a project that needs to be discussed with the archives, because the archives are saying, and I don't know where Brian is, that the archives is not a public access facility. So that is a Pacifica National Board issue. We have a committee working on the elevator, but you as a board have to decide, have to have some conversations there. The question on the capital campaign, no, we're not doing a capital campaign. We raised the money for the generators in the October fund drive. In addition to our fund drive goals, we raised $70,000 for the generators. The generators have been purchased at this point. The $15,000 for the Malibu booster is in our budget. It has been worked into our budget.
Bob? Excuse me, Ray.
Yeah. Well, by the way, thank you for continuing the good work. I know that the process of applying for the executive director position was a pretty bruising process, and I appreciate that you seem to be, well, I wouldn't also say none the worst, but anyway, that I'm hoping that you're looking at it positively and being part of that, moving forward with the new executive director. Sarve asked part of my question, and what I wanted to know, in terms of, when you say you're diverse, can you tell me which categories you're including exactly, and then what tools you use to achieve and maintain that diversity?
Well, we made a lot of changes to our programmers. We went from 68 programmers to 125 programmers over the last 3 years, and that was bringing in Spanish language programmers and bringing in different ethnic groups. So a large diversity, not enough, but that was one of the areas where we've made some major changes. The staff composition, I think it's 50% people of color. The management is 95% people of color, or maybe 90% people of color. Listeners, we know, like Alan mentioned to you, we know when we go out, when I started at KPFK, when we hosted events, for instance, it would be 99%, you know, Caucasians that comes to the events. Now we have so much diversity at community events, so we see it. And so that's some of the differences. We do tremendous amount of work with a lot of grassroots and nonprofits around the LA area, and that allows us to tap into some of our other audiences, because we do media sponsorships on a daily basis with nonprofits and grassroots. So when we always go to those events, so there's the diversity as listeners, programmers, staff, as well as our LSB. The community advisory board is all made up of people of color. Our program council or interim program council has 50% women, 50% people of color. That's a requirement that our local board passed as well. So that's some of it.
Just to clarify,
we don't have a lot of time.
What I really want to know is what are the different communities in your area? And within that 35%, how the distribution, how close are they to the reality on the ground? You know what I'm saying? I mean, for example, if you have 35% of people and they were all Latinos, you would have 35% people of color. Okay. However, there will be other groups not represented within that dynamic. I'm asking how closely and what efforts do you have a process to assess the reality? I'm assuming that's work for the Committee of Inclusion and so on. At this point, do you have a process to assess who's within your listening area and what efforts are you doing specifically to meet those criteria?
Yeah. We don't have quantitative data because we don't have the tools for that, but we do a lot of different events and with a lot of different ethnic programmers, and so that brings our different communities. Our media sponsorships are targeted to address minority communities. 45% of Los Angeles are made up of Latinos. We don't come close to addressing that need, but I think we have like 25 hours of Spanish language programming a week. So, you know, it's all really informal. There's not formal data available at this point, except for what we see when we do the outreach, when we do the programming, that we specifically target different communities. We lack in, for instance, the Asian community. So this year, the first 3 years was focusing on bringing the Latino, the Black community, even India, you know, Native Indian community in. And now we want to focus this year on the Asian community, on youth. So every year we're trying now to target different communities that's underrepresented at KPFK.
Yeah, that's time. I just have one quick thing. Will the translator for Malibu be on stream by the spring drive?
That's the intention.
Thank you. Okay. Now, thanks very much, Eva.
Thank you so
much.
Appreciate
it. Hope you have a safe trip.